I want to look this morning at, all of us in our Christian lives have things at times which we feel, you know, that we're sinking and we need God's help. And I want to look at sinking in the mire this morning. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 69 and verse 14, the psalmist cries out there, "Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink." And there's times in our lives when we feel that we're in a difficult place. We're in a, you know, have you ever seen those old Western films when the horse gets stuck in quicksand and the man begins to sink, and the more you move, the more you sink. And in the end, the only way out is either by getting rescued or getting hold of a branch. But you know what, you and I, our God is the branch, isn't he? And he can rescue us from the mire. Sometimes in our Christian life, we're stuck. We're in a bog. We're in a danger of being swallowed up. And here in this psalm, the psalmist is in that same place, sinking in the mire. He could not save himself. He knew he needed God to deliver him. Firstly, this morning, the most genuine Christian can be in the mire. Being a Christian in this life does not mean that you'll never get into trouble. The most sincere believer in the world can find him or herself in the deep mire. Have you ever been in the mire this morning? Sometimes it's the mire of unbelief, and no matter how many years you've been saved or serving God, you can still find times in your life when you're filled with doubts and fears and even unbelief. And we can be robbed by the devil of our assurance of salvation. Sometimes we can question the scriptures, how they apply to us. We can believe in the truth of God's word and in salvation through faith and the atonement of Christ. And yet perhaps through sin or temptation or failure, or for whatever reason, we can doubt the application of it to our lives. We may lack our assurance of our own salvation and our security in God. It's often said that the closer you get to God, the more you become aware of your own sinfulness and weakness and hypocrisy. And many a sincere Christian has labelled themselves as a hypocrite and a traitor, when in fact they are sincere and love God. Have you ever moaned and groaned under a deep awareness of your own sin? Yes. Have you ever questioned your own motives? Do you ever charge yourself of being insincere in prayer? Or that think that you only go to God because of what he can give you? Or because you don't want to go to hell? Do you ever question your own sincerity? I'm sure we all have at one point or another. And wonder, do I really love God? I think many a true believer has been in this place. Where you don't trust your own heart. Where you sense really how far short you fall from the glory of God. And you question whether you're saved or not, or whether you're forgiven or not. And indeed, what a place of deep mire that is to be in. And the truth is, for all of us, even the most godly amongst us, still carry around in our hearts the vestiges of the old nature, the sinful nature. And even the most godly may find traces of hypocrisy and selfishness lurking in their own hearts. You know, we can cry out to God, though, "Deliver me from the mire. And be merciful to me, a sinner." The blackest mire that we can fall into is the mire of our own inward corruption. Our flesh is deceitful. Our hearts are fickle. You and I, we need the grace of God, don't we, to deliver us daily. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "There is enough in the flesh of any man to make a full-grown devil if grace did not restrain him." You know, sometimes you look at the atrocities that go on in war and the horrors that men do to each other and you think, how can they ever do that? But the truth is, we're all capable of it. It's only by the grace of God, isn't it? You know, even though we have the nature of God in us as Christians, we also carry around with us that old nature. And the holier someone is, the more they're going to experience that conflict between the new and the old nature. And the mire of unbelief and of self-doubt is a lonely place to be. And it can swallow us up if we're not careful. There's other types of Maya too in which we can find ourselves. The Maya of difficult circumstances and trials. We usually find when we're having spiritual battles that we also have earthly troubles too. Disappointments, trouble with the neighbours, trouble with our families, hassle at work, financial strain, health problems, sickness, difficult bosses, things breaking down like washing machines, unexpected expenses, kids playing up, business going slow. We all have trials without and trials within, don't we? But it's not a new thing this morning. God's people have always been beset with troubles and trials. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thing is, are we of good cheer today? Even in the midst of troubles, we can still rejoice in Christ. You know, if God disciplines us, it doesn't mean that he's rejected us. Being in difficulties doesn't mean we don't belong to God, as some would try to teach in these days of health, wealth and prosperity, that you're only a true Christian if everything's always going great and you're smooth and you're always smiling. But thank God that we can cry out to God, Lord, save me from the deep mire and let me not sink. We can also find ourselves in the mire of satanic temptations. You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He loves to whisper in our ear how bad we are, how useless we are, how can we call ourselves a Christian, what failures we are. He oppresses and he depresses. He wants to undermine our trust and our faith in a loving, pardoning Heavenly Father and bring us under a spirit of fear and bondage and a place of despair and condemnation. The Bible says he walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He will tempt us with whatever our weaknesses are. He knows what buttons to push. He knows our past and he tries to use it against us. And thank God that we serve a God who is greater, who can deliver us from the mouth of the lion and save us from even from Satan's fiery darts and attacks. So why does God allow us to fall into the mire in our lives? Sometimes it's because of our own foolishness and sin. God disciplines us when we're in disobedience, doesn't he? But the Bible says he does it for our benefit, to correct us, to bring us to a place of obedience, to bring us to a place of repentance. If our faith is genuine, then the difficulties and trials that you and I face should strengthen us, should build our character, should cause us to spiritually grow in holiness and godliness, in perseverance, there's a good word, in faith. The Bible says the testing of our faith produces patience, and patience character, and character hope. Faith that's only there when all is going well, when we're in good health and prosperous and everyone's getting on with us, is a shallow faith. And it won't last in the day of adversity. Whereas true faith will endure. True faith continues to trust God, even when our friends fail us and loved ones let us down, even when disappointment strikes or when we suffer loss or failure. True faith endures the storms that life throws at us. True faith continues to trust God, even when we feel far from God, even when we lose our assurances and we're in the mire. Sometimes God allows us to go through trials in order to glorify himself, because God is glorified by the faith of his people, to show that in weakness we can find strength in God. So it can be seen that it's grace that sustains you and I, not our own strength. That we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible tells us. That Christ is our sustainer and enabler. That God is our strong deliverer. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. That no flesh should glory in his presence, it tells us. You know, we can often look at what we deem as a great Christian or man of God, and we forget that he's just an earthen vessel. That when his weakness is seen, we know it's the grace and the power of God, rather than any of his own ability or strength, that makes him a great man of God. As it's often said in here, the best of men are men at best. But we need the power of God and the grace of God if we're going to achieve anything worthwhile in God's economy. Perhaps God also allows us to go through these things, not only to build and strengthen us in faith, but so that we can be of use to others, so that we can minister in the body of Christ and help others who are likewise struggling. Some would try to say that those who are beset with problems and failures and struggles are not real Christians, but that real Christians are always victorious and have a permanent air of success upon them. But you know what? If they weren't genuine, they'd have no struggle with sin or temptation, or be aware of their own weakness. Because those who are living in sin are generally happy to carry on in it, aren't they? But if you're struggling and you hate sin in your life and your heart yearns for more of God and less of you, then that's a genuine heart cry of every child of God. They may get into the mire, but they desire to be out of it. They cry out to God for deliverance from it. They cry for help when they fear they're sinking. Like the psalmist said, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. That's the cry of the child of God. God is faithful. He always comes in just in time to rescue us, doesn't he? And deliver us. Just like Peter when he walked on the water and when he began to sink, the Lord reached out and grabbed him. God knows what we can handle. He doesn't allow us to be tested or tempted beyond what we can bear. He's still the great deliverer. Amen. Amen. We know that God is faithful, that he's able to keep us from falling. But yet in the Christian life, there are times when we feel like we are falling. We rejoice in God's grace, but there's times when life is hard and tough and we need the grace of God and the empowerment from on high to sustain us. Only God can deliver us this morning. There's times when we're in the mire in our lives and we look for comfort and we cannot find it. We read our Bibles, but every page seems to accuse us. The guilt of the past tells us we have no right to the promises of Scripture. We look to other believers for comfort, but they remind you of God's goodness and faithfulness, but you only sigh in despair. Sometimes it can make you feel worse. But I think God brings us to a place where we have to turn to him, where our only answer is to cry out to God, let me not sink. Deliver me from the mire, save me. See, God wants us to rely on him for strength, on him for sustenance. And he often brings us to a place of desperation so that we'll finally let go of all those old securities and self-reliance that we turn to too easily. Sometimes he shakes up our circumstances because we've just become too comfortable in our lives. We grow satisfied with just mere religion, of going through the motions, of doing the outward duties, but we neglect that relationship that we should have with God. We settle for a form of godliness and without the power. We settle for the status quo. We settle for the easy Christian life. You know, it's easy to point the finger to, you know, the Church of England or the state churches and say, oh, they're just a form of godliness, but it can happen to us. We can just fall into acting out of a form of godliness but deny the power. You know, God stirs up our lives, doesn't he, and so that we can turn to him if we're willing. We can sometimes become smug in our Christian life. Well, we're mature now, we've proven our service already. You know, we've sacrificed and we've served and we know how things run now. And you know what? God intervenes then and he stirs things up and we realise actually we know nothing. We haven't even scratched the surface of what God has for us. And our standing before God isn't based on the number of years of service or how much we've sacrificed or how much we've served in the past or how we feel. It's based solely on Christ and him crucified, on his power alone. We cannot trust anything of us. God has to bring us to that place where our faith rests on him and not on us. Nothing to thy feet we bring, simply to thy cross we cling. And when we can get to that place, God can help us. God can deliver us out of the mire. And if that brings us to a place where we cry out to God, then that's a good thing, isn't it? If the end result is a purer, firmer and more steadfast faith. You know, the one tool that we always have when we're in a time of difficulty is the tool of prayer. If you can't do anything else, you can pray. God's ears are open 24/7. We can call upon the Lord in the time of trouble. We can bring our requests, our intercessions, our needs before his throne of grace. And he says we can find help in the time of trouble. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is never a waste of time. It's never in vain if we're sincere in seeking God. God's ears are attentive to the prayers of his people. It doesn't matter where we're at, whether we're in poverty, sickness, struggling with whatever, we can call upon God. He doesn't always answer the way we want or the way we expect, but he has our good at heart. You know, Paul cried out for that thorn in his flesh to be removed, but God didn't remove it. But he told him that his grace was sufficient for him. His strength was made perfect in weakness. See, prayer as well, it's not just words, is it? But it's the utterance of our hearts to God. And even our groans and our sighs and our heartache and our pain can be heard by God. Our tears can be prayers. The Bible says we don't always know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have we got infirmities? The Spirit will help us. He is the helper. And if we need help, we need to go to the helper. You know, there are times when we don't know how to express all our desire and frustration to God. There's times when we're stuck in the mire, when our circumstances confound us, when all seems lost from an earthly logical perspective. But we can cry out, we can open our hearts to God. We can cry, we can groan, we can beat our chest. And you know what? God understands us. We don't need eloquent words, but we have the helper who can make intercession for us and express God's answers for our lives. You know, even if you don't feel like praying, which you don't often when you're in difficult places, but we have to make ourselves pray, don't we? Satan doesn't want us to pray because he knows it can bring God's help and set us free. What we mustn't do when we're sinking in our lives is give up. The devil wants us to quit, but we need to cry out to our deliverer, let me not sink. That needs to be the cry of our heart. And if you're in the mire, you know God can rescue you. And if you're not, then thanks be to God. But let's not become complacent or too confident in our own ability. But remember, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, because we can all fall. But God is our deliverer. Amen. Amen. And Psalm 107 I want to read in closing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God delivers, doesn't he, when we cry out to him in our trouble. And he sent his word. Well, the word is Jesus. Yes. And when we're sinking in the mire, he's the branch that we can get hold of. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning.